Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is version 7.1, WebSphere MQ Client Support on IBM i. Today's presenters are Calista Stevens and Kenneth Langhorne. Calista has worked in a variety of areas throughout her career at IBM. She began her career in Rochester, Minnesota, where she had roles in AS400 operating system and product development, test, and tools. She also had a short-term assignment in the marketing arena, where she was part of the team in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh that assisted customers with migrating to the AS400, now known as IBM i. Today, she is a member of the WebSphere MQ customer support team for IBM i, where she serves as team leader. She is also the WebSphere MQ support liaison for IBM i's Large Users Group, or LUG. Kenneth Langhorne is an experienced support software engineer working with the IBM WebSphere MQ Level 2 support team in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Kenneth joined IBM over 25 years ago. After working on the IBM ZOS Kix Level 2 support team for several years, he moved to WebSphere MQ. He has participated in IBM i's LUG and has had several team lead responsibilities. His background and knowledge of WebSphere MQ gives him the ability to assist colleagues and customers around the world on a variety of problems. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Calista. You may begin.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. My name is Calista Stevens, and today Kenneth and I are going to cover WebSphere MQ client support on IBM i. David, if you would please move to slide 2. The topics we will cover as part of our presentation are how to install and maintain the client six-pack level, the different methods that can be utilized to connect to a server from the client, how to call and compile the various supported ILE programs and languages, how the user ID is established that is passed to the server from the client, enabling SSL on the IBM i client, where to locate doc on the client for troubleshooting problems, common errors encountered when trying to establish a client connection, and lastly, we'll just share some helpful links and previously presented Westies on topics related to clients. I'd also like to note that during this presentation, from time to time, you will see slides that are labeled notes. This information is strictly for reference and will not be covered as part of the presentation. David, if you would, please move to slide 3. Client installation. The client may be installed as part of the server or standalone. The objects are placed in the QMQM library. The QIBM prod data MQM and the QIBM user data MQM IFS directories. The client may be installed on IBM iOS version 6.1 or higher. The product ID for the client is 5724ABLE49. You can install the server over the client and the client over the client. However, if you attempt to install the client over the server, you will receive an error. Tech note 4031412 is a support pack for the version 7.1 WebSphere MQ clients. And there will be a slide referencing all tech notes later in this presentation. David, please move to slide 4. Okay, so the next couple of slides will review the actual install commands. These instructions show installing the server product from the save files, which includes the client. Instructions for installing from CD may be found in the quick beginnings for IBM i in the Information Center. Please move to slide 5, David. Okay. These instructions show installing the client product from save files. This is the client-only install. Installations from the CD for the client may also be found in the quick beginnings for IBM i in the Information Center. David, please move to slide 6. Okay, updating maintenance. To update the client maintenance level, you must download the client level desired from the MQ Charlie 71 support pack. It will download a zip file, which will contain four save files and a README. You'll simply issue a restore license program for the MQ 71 Charlie base and the MQ 71 Charlie SAMP save files to install the maintenance for client-only installations. To update the client on a server installation, you'll just update the FixPack level for the server by downloading the PTFs. Those PTFs can be obtained from the fixes by version for MQ TechNote, 125.4675 from Fix Central. This is incorrect on the slide and will be updated in the final version of this presentation. Once you download the PTFs, then you can just load and apply them after you quest the queue manager and in the QMQM subsystem. You'll also notice a difference in how to determine the maintenance levels depending on whether or not you have the client installed or the server installed that contains the client. For client-only installations, you'll need to call the program DISP-MQ-VIR, and if the server is installed, you can just issue the command DISP-MQ-M-VIR to determine the level of client that's installed. Now I'll turn the presentation over to Kenneth. David, if you would please move to slide 8.
Good day, everyone. I will continue with the methods of connection. As you can see on the floor, there are four methods of connection. The first one is using the MQCNO structure on an MQConX call. The second method is using the MQ server environment variable. The third method would be using the MQCHLlib and the MQCHLtab environment variables. And our fourth method for connecting clients would be the channel stanza in the MQClientAny file. David, could we go to slide 9? Method 1, the MQCNO on the MQConX, is probably the one that most people will use first, because that one contains this method. Everything is contained in your client application, and it uses the API, the Connex API, to reference portions of the channel definition structure. And the nice part of it is we give you the C version of it already compiled. David, can we go to slide 10? When you use this sample program, which is the AMQSCNXC, the one we provide you already compiled, and we give you the source code. The nice part about it is you can just run this right out the box and use the default channel of system DEF SVRCon. Now, there are three parameters used by this program. The first parameter is the dash X, and you can pass the host name with that. And basically, if you had a queue manager 1 and you were trying to listen on port 1414, you could have QM1 1414 in parentheses, or you could have the IP address with the port number in parentheses. The second parameter would be your channel name, which would be whatever channel you decided to set up. Or you, as I said earlier, you can use the default channel, which is the system.def.svrcon. The third parameter is your queue manager name. Now, if you have a default queue manager, you don't have to specify the queue manager name. Otherwise, you have to specify it as the third parameter. This is also referenced in one of our tech notes, 164.3.2.19. And we have a list of them at the back of the presentation. David, could we go to page or slide 11? excuse me, 11 is the notes going over what we just covered, so can we skip to 12? Slide 12 is dealing with method 2, MQ server, environment variables. Another commonly used client setup is this MQ server environment variable. It's set on the client to reference the server connection channel, the transportation type, and the host name or the IP address. It also points to the listener port on the server. The environment variable is defined at a system level so that all users who may invoke this client application pick up the setting. All queue managers will also use this setting at the system level. However, in some environments, it may be preferable for you to define the environment variable setting at a job level if you wanted to have a separate one. Whenever you set up environment variables, we strongly recommend, well, you must sign off and sign on to enable the add env var changes before calling your client application. The sample that is normally used with this is the AMQS putC or AMQS getC sample. This is referenced in a tech note 164-3263. Okay. David, could we go to slide 13? The third method is using the environment variables mqchl-lib and mqchl-tab. And when you're doing this one, you should create the server con and the client con channels on the server via the create mqmchl command. And you'll notice that the server con just needs the channel name, the type, and the queue manager, whereas on the client con, you have to have the channel name, the channel type, the queue manager, the target queue manager, and the con name of who you're trying to get to. When you're using these, whenever you're dealing with clients anyway, you need to make sure your listener is running. Now, the default listener port for MQ Series is 1414, but I found over time a lot of people like to listen on separate port for clients. In our sample, we use 1415. Now, after you set this up, you want to transfer a copy of the channel, the client channel definition table, and a lot of people refer to it as the CCDT. You copy that from the server to the client. Now, by default, when you create that guy on IBM I, he's normally he's located under the /QIBM/user data/MQM/QMGRS/whatever your queue manager name is /IPCC. And normally when I transfer it, I would move it to on the client side, something like /QIBM/user data. And we also have reference material for other platforms. Okay, David, could we go to slide 15? Now, the other side of this, the client side, I just told you about copying it over. And in my sample, we use QIBM user data for the location. When you copy the CCDT file over from the server to the client side, you stick it under the IFS directory, and you use that add env var to set up the mqchllib environment variable. And you also do it to point to your AMQCLCHL.tab, which is your CCDT. Normally, you set it up at the system level for both of them. And after you set it up, you would normally use the AMQS putC and the AMQ QS get C samples to verify that your setup is okay. Now, this is referenced in a tech note called 164.3674. And the note is that with the client-server-client installation, when you set up those two, when you set up the MQCHL lib at the system level, each queue manager, if you have multiple queue managers, will all update that same CCDT file. The file will contain the client connection definition for all the queue managers on the server. Now, the caveat is, if you have multiple queue managers on the same server, channel name uniqueness is very important. So if the same definition exists on multiple queue managers, the file will only contain the most recent definition of that channel. So if you have four queue managers out there and they all define the same channel, the last one defined is the one that you'll pick up. Now, David, can we go to slide 17? The final method, the fourth method, is called the mqclient.ini file. The mqclient.ini file may be used to specify the equivalent of either the environment variables by using one of the channel stanzas below. It's laid out similar to the qmini file. So you'd have a channel stanza, channels stanza, and you can have channel definition directory point to the directory path for the CCDT. You could also have channel definition file that points to the file, or you can set up the server connection parms and specify the channel name, the transportation type, which is normally TCP, it could be SNA, and the con name and port number. Again, the most common samples we use are PutC, AMQS PutC, and AMQS GetC. Now, the normal directory for the mqclient.ini file is the QIBM prod data MQM live directory. Now, if you have the client and the server installed on the same box, then it gets copied over to the slash QIBM slash user data slash MQM directory where the queue manager is created. And basically, the server con parms stanza is equivalent to using the MQ server environment variable we talked about earlier and specifies the location of the WebSphere MQ server and the communication method to be used. The channel definition directory and channel definition file stanzas are equivalent to the MQCHL lib and the MQCHL tab environment variable settings, and specifies the location of the client channel definition table, or CCDT, and the name of the channel client channel definition table. Again, when you make these changes, you must sign off and sign back on to enable the changes to the INI file to be picked up. Now, currently, we have a problem with the the mqclient.ini file, because when we ship it to date, the CSID is not correct. There's an APAR to describe this problem called SE56381, and the abstract says something like unable to connect WMQ IBM I client using mqclient.ini file. The easiest workaround is to copy another INI file over that's already at the 37 level, clear it out, and set it up for this one. But I believe the target for this fix is the 7.0.1.4 fix pack, so you can monitor that. Also, there's a tech note that should be available shortly that will describe this concern. That will be 164.3387. David, could we go to slide 19? The precedent of method is just saying if you have a channel defined by more than one of these methods, the order that we will pick it up is as listed on this form. The MQCon API has the highest, The second one would be MQ server environment variable. The third would be the MQ client INI file. And the final one would be the MQCHL lib and the MQCHL tab environment variables. And I believe this is equivalent to what we have on the distributed platforms. Again, if you need to reference this in more detail, there's a tech note 132.1254 that describes how to determine the type of client connection established to a server environment variable via the environment variable or via the MQConX. Okay, David, could we go to 420? The next section we want to talk about is calling and creating programs. I think we said earlier, the ILE C sample programs, like the AMQS put C and the AMQS get C, are pretty common across MQ series. And they are C sample programs provided with the client and server products. They're already compiled, so you can just run them right out the box. They only require two parameters, and those two parameters are the queue name and the queue manager name. Now, the C samples, like I said, are probably the most common ones used. The one thing to remember is these are ILE C sample programs. OPM programs are not supported as client applications. Okay, David, could we go to slide 21? A common language on the iPlatform, I don't think you'll see it anywhere else, is the ILE RPG. Compiling clients programs for that is similar. Well, it's fairly straightforward. To create an RPG program, you need to make sure that QMQM is in your library list, so you can do an add lib, LE lib, QMQM. You have to do the create RPG mod, specify the program and the source file, and then you have to create the program that you're doing, and make sure when you bind the service program, you pull in the lib MQIC. Now, if you're trying to deal with threaded programs, the main difference would be on step 3, instead of lib MQIC, you'd replace it with lib MQIC underscore R. Now, the other caveat is when you're dealing with ILE RPG, like for the queue manager name, you know it's 48 characters, so you have to pad it out. If you had an 8-character name, you need to pad out the other 40 spaces to make sure it picks it up properly. Now, David, could we go to slide 22? ILE COBOL, compiling those kind programs is very similar to the RPG. Again, you need the QMQM in your library list, so you need to do the add lib LE for that. The second step would be the create COBOL mod or create CBL MOD, naming the program and the source file and doing the link lit. And the third step that you have to do is to create program similar to what we did earlier. And we pull in the AMQC stub for the regular programs. If you're dealing with threaded programs, you just have to change the AMQC stub to the AMQC stub underscore R. And they also need to be padded out 48 characters for the queue manager name. Okay, can we now, David, go to slide 24? The other thing that comes into play when you're setting up clients is the client authentication. The user profile passes from the client to the server for authentication is determined by one of three methods. whether or not you have a security exit, whether you have the MCA user ID coded, and whether or not the user ID is passed from the client. Now, my understanding is the security exit is the highest one. If that's not coded and we have an MCA user ID, we will use that. If that's not coded, we will try to use the user ID pass from the client. That's usually pretty straightforward. And you'll probably see a 2035 if you have a problem with that. The next slide looks like it's going to be dealing with Calista.
Okay, thank you, Kenneth. Now we'll cover some steps necessary on the IBM client only to set up an SSL connection. The MQ SSL KR environment variable is set on the IBM I client to identify the key store being used. It may be set to the system store or to a private key store as shown in the examples here. If the MQ SSL KR environment variable is not specified, the system store is used by default. Please move to slide 26, David. So if the system store is being used on the client, then the client user profile will need to be registered for use as an application with the Digital Certificate Manager, or DCM. The AMQ RSSLC program can be called with the minus R option followed by the client user profile name to register the user profile as a server application. And it will be built with a unique label of QIBM underscore WebSphere underscore MQ underscore user profile with DCM. Once the user profile appears as a server application in DCM, you can assign certificates to it. And then you'll just also note there's also a minus U option that will unregister the user profile. In order to run this particular program, you must have all object or QMQM ADM as your group profile. And to register a user profile, you must have use authority to that profile. If a user profile is not specified, it will register the user profile running the actual AMQ RSSLC program. If a private key store is being used on the client, then you must stash the password for the key database file. The AMQ RSSLC program can be called with the minus S option followed by the key store path minus the KDB extension to stash the password for the key database. This will stash the password in a file with the same name as the key database file except with an extension of .sth. QMQM and QMQM ADM will be the owner and primary group of the file. David, if you would please move to slide 28. Okay, so now we'll review at a high level the steps to set up an SSL connection on the IBM I client side only using the system store. So steps 1 through 5 will basically cover what you need to do for one-way authentication. You'll want to add the system key store to the MQSSL KR environment variable. You'll want to set the client channel definition table environment variables that Kenneth spoke of earlier. You'll want to copy the client channel definition table from the queue manager into the IFS directory specified in the MQCHLlib environment variable. And you'll want to import the CA certificate from the queue manager into the system store using DCM on the client. And lastly, you'll want to register the user profile running the client application with DCM using the tools that I spoke of previously. Additionally, for two-way authentication, steps 6 through 9 or 6 through 8, you'll want to create a server certificate with the label IBM WebSphere MQ User Profile using DCM, and this label would be specified in lowercase, and it will be the user profile of the individual running the client application. You'll want to assign the server certificate to the user profile application in DCM. Then you'll want to export the client server cert from DCM and send it over to the server where the queue manager resides. And then once all your certificates are in place and SSL setup is complete on the queue manager as well as on the client, then you can call the client application. Lastly, we just like to encourage folks, if you do plan to implement SSL, we strongly encourage you to verify that the client channel connection works successfully without SSL first, and then incorporate the steps necessary to use SSL. Now I'll turn the presentation back over to Kenneth. David, if you would, please move to slide 29.
Thank you, Calista. Our next slide, we'll talk about the WMQ IBM I client error log. Those of you who are familiar with IBM I and MQ series or should be familiar with that QIBM user data MQM errors directory. The client error logs go there as well. Also, if the client cuts an FDC, he sticks it in that same directory under the IFS. The names are, like we said, similar to what you're used to for the server, where the if you had an FDC, the AMQ, PPPPE.SS.FDC, the P's would represent the process ID, and the S would be the sequence number, i.e., if you cut three FDCs for the same process, be .01, .02, .03, or .123. The most recent message is logged in the error log, just like we do on the server. And whenever we're trying to diagnose problems with MQ series, you always want to check that directory for error messages to see if there's any useful information logged for the job log in that one. Now, the other reason you want to do that is the client and the server, when they're talking, they are dependent on the transport layer. And so if it's something outside of MQ, usually a message will be there that will help narrow the scope down. Now, another thing you can do is once you see a message in there that you're concerned with, you can always use the work MSGD to expand on what the message means if you're not sure about it. But so that's basically what the error logs go for the client, which is similar to where they go for the server. Well, with server FDCs. Now, don't forget, if you have the client and the server on the same box, the queue managers also have an error log under /QIBM/userdata/MQM, but then it's /QMGRS/your queue manager name/errors. Okay. Can we go to the next slide, 30, David? Now, the tricky thing is if you're dealing with WebSphere MQ IBM I client trace, and if the client is on its own, if it's on a box by itself, there's a different trace for you to run. Now, the trace will still go in the directory under the IFS called /QIBM/userdata/MQM/trace. And the naming convention would be similar to what you would be used to for the server. The biggest difference is instead of this using the TRC-MQM, you'd have to do a call to a program, STR-MQ-TRC. That program is in the QMQM library. And when you call that program, you need to pass it some particular parameters. The PARMS, if you hit the F4 key to prompt it, should have a single quote -e, single quote, space, a single quote -t, single quote, space, a single quote, all lowercase, single quote, another space and another single quote, dash T single quote, space, single quote detail lowercase, single quote close paren. Now, those parameters are, the E will give you an early trace, which is required when you're trying to get the client trace. The T levels, the all in the detail will give you the most trace possible. And really, that's what I would start with unless we directed you to do something differently. Now, one thing to remember, a little side note, since Khalifa just went over the SSL, when SSL is involved, if you do have to diagnose a problem with SSL, you want to definitely use the dash T in the detail option. And what that should do is produce a trace file called amq.ssl.trc in the trace directory. That's a binary file that MQ proper doesn't use, but we sometimes have to bring in GSKit to assist us on these calls, and they use that file. Okay, can we now go to slide 31? And a quick footnote, I believe there's a tech note 1644167 that has a sample trace in it if you want to see what our trace looks like with the client. Okay, now on slide 31, some of the more common problems you'll see with clients, IBM I clients, are the one that I think everybody will probably hit at some point in their life is the 2035, the MQRC not authorized. And the user ID doesn't have sufficient authority. You normally have to, when you see that one, verify the user defined on the server. Make sure they have appropriate authority to the queue manager and the destination queue. And you can also check the error logs for the message ID AMQ8077. And it will probably give you a more detailed explanation of what we're complaining about. The other more common error with clients is the 2058. And when you see that, you want to go back and verify your channel name, your IP, host, and your port to make sure you're pointing to the right queue manager and that those parameters are set up. And you want to verify that the correct queue manager was passed to the application. Sometimes uppercase, lowercase will get you in trouble with that one. Another common error that we see a lot is the 2059 with clients, which means the queue manager is not available. Again, with that one, you want to verify your channel name, your IP, your host name, your port that you're using. Make sure it's pointing to the right queue manager and verify the queue manager was passed properly to the application name that you wanted. Case, again, is an issue for the 2059, just like the 2058. And you want to make sure your listener is active and that your queue manager is active when you see the 2059. Another common error we see with clients is the AMQ4036. And with that one, you verify that the user is defined on the server, especially if you're coming from another platform other than iSeries. Verify the user has the appropriate authority to the queue manager and the destination queue. And the channel off setting, you want to make sure that's not blocking access to your queue manager. My understanding is if you migrate it to 7.1, you don't have to worry about that. But if it's a new install or a new queue manager or a new install, then you definitely want to check that off setting, because the default now is to block it so you don't get a denial service or something like that. Now we want to go to all 33. That way we can skip that. That's one of my notes. So now we want to go to 434. And basically, you've heard Kalista and myself mention a couple tech notes. And this is pretty much a summary of the majority of them in a high level of what they're related to. And now we can go to 435, which has some additional links that will be of benefit to you. And you can check those links out at your leisure. And I like to always make sure, if you ever bring somebody new to MQ series, make sure they review that WMQ primer, because it's a good high level of what MQ does, regardless of the platform you're on. And we were fortunate that Mark Taylor has updated that primer to pick up some of the newer features that we're dealing with today. And I think the following page, slide 36, has some notes on SSL and channel authentication. Both of those will come into play. And like Kalista said, whenever you're dealing with our channels, it's best is to set up a channel, make sure it works, then go and use SSL afterwards. Now, can we go to slide 37? Now, 37 is just a summary of what we've gone over so far today. And I think they're self-explanatory. How to install and maintain the client fixed back level, the different methods that we can utilize to connect to a server from a client, how to call and compile the various supported ILE programs and languages, and how we pick which user ID is passed to the server from the client, where to locate doc on the client if you have to troubleshoot, common errors when dealing with client connections, and in the prior pages, links to the information center and other topics related to other WSDs in this concern. Now I would like to turn the call over to David Long.
Slide 38 has some additional WebSphere product resources, which we hope you would find useful. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We are showing no questions at this time.
Thank you, Kelly. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Kalista and Kenneth, for presenting today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.